Live from downtown Pioneer Park, it's Homeless in Salt Lake City. A special broadcast of The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio.
Last night on the Nightside Project, I dropped by after a movie last night, and they said, kind of what brought this broadcast about? And I said, you know, it's really cumulative. Comments that I'm hearing from members of the community, business friends around here. It's come up in the mayoral debates. Police officers that I know have talked about some of the issues here. And even just, you can feel it. It's palpable. There is an increase. Something has changed in this part of our community. We're noticing more and more vacant fronts, while at the same time we're seeing building going on. And you know, it's a real challenge, obviously, for the Salt Lake City Police Department. And I'm so pleased that Chief Mike Brown here with us, along with Acting Deputy Chief of Police Josh Sharman. And Chief, maybe I can start with you. First of all, thank you for taking time out of a busy day to join us. And we are talking about some of the challenges overall for any police department, but boy, you've got a real issue down here with Pioneer Park and the Rio Grande community.
Yes, we do, Doug. And first, thank you for having us on the show. This is important to let people know what we're going to try to do down here and kind of our new focus.
Well, let's talk about that. What is the new focus? And am I wrong? Are the statistics showing that there's been an increase? Because there's certainly a presence on the street that I haven't seen for quite a while.
Yeah, I believe there is. This area for 30 years has historically been, it ebbs and flows with crimes and different open-air drug markets, things like that. It's been a troubled area for quite some time. We recently, for the last year, we really focused on our social outreach programs and trying to help people get into housing, get into jobs and things like that. What we didn't do is we didn't enforce as many crimes or as much do the things a cop should be doing.
That's one thing that at least one of the businessmen, the owner of the Rio Grande Cafe, said. Boy, you know, I mean, I understand reaching out to the community and helping and everything else, but, well, on the line, you know, I wish some of these folks, I know, and he agreed. He said, I know you can't just arrest your way out of this problem, but at the same time, there are some people that need to be arrested.
No, I know you're talking about Pete, and he's been a longtime friend of mine and to the department, but you're absolutely right. Homelessness is not a police issue. And you're right, we cannot arrest our way out of this. But we can come together as a community and collaborative and work on these things together.
Perhaps, Deputy Chief, we could talk with you for a moment. Let's talk about your role in this community. What is your goal and what are your responsibilities?
Terrific. That's a great question, Doug, and I appreciate the opportunity to come out and talk and let people know exactly what the direction we're heading. The main focus that we've changed is, the social programs that we've been incorporated with, we've built some terrific partnerships with the service providers down here in the neighborhood, and we're going to continue to have those terrific relationships. And the police department's role in those social service aspects are important. We've made some great strides. We're going to enhance those. We're actually going to bring down 8 more caseworkers. They're going to work directly for the police department. It's going to help some more with that outreach, and they're going to be that link between the police officer and the service providers. So we're going to continue our social services, but there's 2 other aspects that we're bringing. And number one, we're going to bring an increased enforcement and order maintenance. It's important that we realize that the homeless population is they're members of the community. Anyone that works here, travels here, lives here, plays here. We are their police department, and so they deserve police services, and they deserve a good environment. They deserve a safe environment, and so we're going to help provide that. So there's no reason why, just because they're in a situation where they're down on their luck or they're in that kind of an atmosphere, that the rules go out the window, that it's a free-for-all. They should still feel free to walk down the street, not be robbed or be offered drugs.
Right.
And that kind of environment, so we're going to work on that.
That's the thing that really has changed, and boy, I think maybe the pinnacle of this is when our Speaker of the House was down here, Greg Hughes, and he was with Deputy Fred Ross.
Right.
And right there in front of him, I mean, this is the Speaker of the House of the great state of Utah. He witnesses 2 drug deals go down right under his nose and sees, Deputy Ross chase a guy down, tackle him, bring him down with, $3,500 worth of cash in a backpack, and who knows how many balloons of drugs and everything else. And I could tell when I talked with Greg Hughes, that was an epiphanal moment for him.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like Josh explains, Doug, we're looking at a three-prong approach down here. If you're going to come down here and sell drugs, buy drugs, use drugs, we are going to arrest you. Make no mistake about it. We'll have a zero, you know, we will not tolerate that down here. We're going to work and focus on the order maintenance issues because every community, I know you're from Eureka, and I'm a kind of a mining buff myself, but there's a social expectation within our communities. Eureka, you wouldn't allow that to happen there.
Right.
It shouldn't happen in Sugar House or in any community.
Right.
Why do we tolerate it down here?
Well, absolutely. I think of old Joe Bernini down in Eureka, who was our town marshal. Holy cow. I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of Joe in a scenario like that. And I'm assuming here in the future, nobody's going to be wanting to be on the receiving end of you guys on these issues either if they're selling drugs.
Right. No, absolutely not. We are going, I mean, we put out a kind of a summary sheet yesterday as to what we had collected last week. And it was almost $30,000 in heroin.
Wow.
$12,000 cash and about $12,000 in meth. And that's just 1 week.
And that's from this area.
It was right off of Rio Grande and 2nd South, 5th West, right over there, right off the streets.
You know, if I might add to that, we actually took off. So last week, we took off 1,370 doses of heroin that were not on the street. So we took those actually from dealers, interrupted drug deals, and were able to prevent 1,300 doses from being in heroin, and almost 600 doses of cocaine. So it's out there for sure.
Yeah.
And it's a complex problem, Doug. You have people from all over this region, all over this valley, coming down here to buy their drugs. People from Sandy, Mill Creek, West Valley, Rock Springs. People are coming from out of state here to buy drugs. And so we're gonna address that issue. But then you have the homeless folks. A lot of them are suffering from addiction problems, sitting on a sidewalk next to a dealer who's selling the demon to this problem.
Yeah. One quick final question, and again, I've mentioned this with everybody. Boy, everything that we have discussed just begs deeper conversation, future programs, but hopefully this will be a launching point. As far as your relationship with the homeless, how would you describe that with the SLPD and those who are truly homeless? They're not down here feigning it. They're not panhandling. They are truly homeless.
Doug, I have to tell you, I was down here a while ago, and we made an arrest. And as we were taking this individual of a dope dealer away, I remember looking down and seeing this little lady sitting on the sidewalk, and she looked up and she said, "Thank you so much."
Wow.
So I think they're very appreciative. They're victimized by this
crime
that's down here. They really are.
Pamela Atkinson, who is here, points that out to me all the time. You know, among the many downsides of what we're seeing here, the homeless. She even told me, she's advised one of her, she always refers to them as homeless friends. She said, if you fall asleep and you're out in public, tie your shoes around your neck, or they'll be stolen right off your feet. I mean, holy cow. Chief and Deputy Chief, thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We'll look forward to other great conversations in the future, and thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take a break, and we will come right back. I want to remind everybody you can join the Greenhouse Show coming up Saturday at Harvest Right, 3070 California Avenue. Save up to $500 on a home food freezer dryer. Call 801-335-9347. More from Pioneer Park coming up in just a moment. For some time now, I've talked about what an amazing place Reed School is for your student. And if you haven't discovered Reed School, could I encourage you to contact them either on the website at reidschool.com or simply give them a call at 801-466-4214. And of course, all of the traditional skills your child absolutely needs presented in such a marvelous way that makes learning, yes, challenging, but also fun and satisfying and rewarding. And they do things in such a unique way. I want to tell you about this. Reed School students, along with their bulldozers, their fire engines, their ambulances, and cranes made from Legos, they saved persons from the disasters of earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes within a city and in the country. And the students, with the use of their computer skills, represented the school well at the regional and state-level competitions in the first Lego League. That's just an example of what your student is going to find at Reed School, where learning is amazing. Give them a call, 466-4214.
I walked into a furnace room and there stood an old water heater my dad, Richard Whipple, had installed 32 years before, and it was still going strong. What a treat. He's been gone since 1999, and his careful installation and proper maintenance kept this water heater going for more than four times the average life. A great mentor, proper procedures, and proper maintenance still makes it feasible for us to guarantee our installations for 10 years. Proper maintenance increases efficiency, speed of recovery, and quantity of hot water. Proper maintenance also reduces corrosion and excessive pressure. At Whipple Service Champions, this annual service is just $49. You get more hot water faster, save fuel, and extend the life of your water heater for just $49. Boiler tune-ups are still just $49 too. Call Utah's best of state Whipple Service Champions. You know the number? 801-444-FAST. That's 801-444-FAST.
Whipple, they come, plumbing troubles all gone.
For emergencies, when you call today, we come today.
Recent reports show an alarming increase in the number of men who are suffering from ED or PE. ED is a condition that no man should have to accept. Dr. Michael Trumbly has been treating men with ED and PE successfully for more than 20 years. At Physicians ED Center, a great love life is just one office visit away, no matter what your age or medical history. If you have a prostate problem or diabetes, if Viagra and Cialis have let you down, the doctors at Physicians ED Center can help virtually any man with a custom blend of safe prescription medications. There's no surgery, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work on your first visit, or it's free. Don't wait another minute. Call the Physicians ED Center now. Appointments are filling fast. Call 801-900-5452. Call 801-900-5452. That's 801-900-5452.
Oh man, I just knew it.
Knew what?
Refinance rates are going back up.
Oh, that.
Yeah, we wasted too much time browsing around for some low mortgage rate somewhere.
Well, we wanted to be sure.
And now it's too late. I knew this would happen.
Yeah, me too. And so
now rates are too high to refi.
Well, actually not. See, because
No, we waited too long.
Honey.
We could have saved a ton. We blew it.
Relax, honey. We'll be fine.
Oh, right. If we just happen to win the lottery.
Better than that.
Huh?
I already called Paramount Equity Mortgage.
So what?
So their rates are still way down, as low as 3.25%. APR 3.330.
Right now?
Yeah. We could save huge money every month and pay no lender fees.
Even with a rate that low?
Yep. But rates can change every day. So let's do it now.
Call Paramount Equity Mortgage, 250-4000. 801-250-4000.
Paramount Equity Mortgage, LLC. Rates are subject to change. Please call for additional cost information. Utah DRE, MEL number 6967176, NMLS number 30336.
With the three things you need to know this hour, I'm Mark Jackson. First, a chain reaction crash kills three people on northbound I-15 through Lehigh overnight. Two of those people may not have worn seatbelts. UHP reminds all drivers to buckle up and slow down through lane restrictions. Second, West Valley Police continue to investigate whether two reports of overnight shootings are connected. The shootings happened within blocks of each other near 3400 West and Parkway Boulevard. The man fled in a red vehicle. And third is ABC News.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Obama making a hard pitch for the Iran nuclear deal in a speech at American University in Washington today.
I've had to make a lot of tough calls as president. But whether or not this deal is good for American security is not one of those calls. It's not even close.
He says the same Republicans who voted for the Iraq war are now against a diplomatic solution. A team of investigators in Toulouse, France, looking closely at a section of wing from a Boeing 777 that washed ashore on Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean. They want to know if it's from Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, which disappeared last March with more than 200 people on board.
Expect a high of 91 degrees later today. Along the way, some clouds, a little bit of sunshine, 30% chance of showers, low 69 right now, 82. Degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. Now back to the Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio.
Live from downtown Pioneer Park, it's Homeless in Salt Lake City. A special broadcast of the Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio.
I'm going to give you a little fair warning on this section of the program. We have received input from various sources, including an email that we got, and it talked about the plight, especially of children. This beautiful, wonderful neighborhood in which we are broadcasting right now. But along with its beauty, along with its historical significance, along with the amazing opportunities, boy, there are some liabilities. And I'm going to actually quote from this. In 3 days last week, children who could have been in this, I'm editing a little bit here, not to give away too much, who could be visiting this area, either to go to a schooling facility that is here or, you know, other things that are in this area, they likely saw, now again, fair warning, a middle-aged man covered with his own feces, waist to ankle, walking in front of one of the establishments here. 8 second-tier drug dealers converging on one of the very historic avenues here. 7 males beating up one another. A man whose head was bashed in and knifed directly in front of a former state senator. Heroin being planted along the street around fences. And then open, I'll use a more polite word than I'm seeing here, use of the restroom without a restroom. And then it goes on to talk about drugs thrown over the fence into playgrounds. And this goes on. This goes on. Christian joins us right now. And we talked with Christian Harrison the other day. This is your neighborhood.
Yes.
This is
welcome
where,
to my front yard.
Yeah, you just pointed to where you live. And you are the head of the community council.
Yes.
Everything that I just talked about, does that really happen?
Oh, yeah. And then some. This area is ground zero for all sorts of things that happen that are really unspeakable, not just on the radio, but, you know, in day-to-day life. You know, we wouldn't put up with a school bus stop letting our children off, where the children are then surrounded by drug dealers, cartel members, feces, blood spatter. Yeah. We wouldn't accept that, but that's what happens here. When the interesting story, so with Scott Howell, Senator Scott Howell, he was out here a few days ago and touring the area, and right in front of him there was a man that was accosted, brutally accosted. I think Scott used the word, you know, they bashed his head in, and a few seconds later, two families with two strollers, you know, trundled through the blood spatter.
Oh, my goodness.
If police are chasing you and you want to ditch your drugs, you heave them over the fence into the playground at the shelter, and then, you know, children will scatter out, grab them, and pull them on inside the building so they can't be found. It's a war zone. And the funny thing is, and it's not funny, but it's the only phrase I have.
The funny thing is that,
you know, for a person who isn't doing drugs, who isn't selling drugs, or who isn't homeless, this neighborhood is one of the safest places in the city. But that's a horrible metric of success. That is not success.
When I look at these communities, and I've often looked at this, and again, it's been described by city leaders as the largest piece of open space and green space that we have in downtown Salt Lake City.
Yes.
And we're sitting in it. We're right here in Pioneer Park. And to have it, other than very protected events and environments like the farmers market or like the Twilight Concert, whatever it might be, other than those rare exceptions, this is no man's land. I mean, who comes down here for a picnic? What young mother would bring her stroller down here? And I think, and I mentioned this on the air yesterday, my mom would do that all the time with me. I was raised right across from Fairmont Park.
Mm.
Single mom, school teacher. We lived in a little tiny apartment, basement apartment. My mom would, I'd go over to the park and I'd play. We'd go over there and have picnics. We'd go over and swim in the pool, which is, by the way, I'm old enough now that's under the freeway. But I try to imagine a single mom in this area, that scenario. First of all, letting her kid go over here and play almost unsupervised. My mom was always keeping an eye out, of course. But coming over here for a picnic and just letting me gambol all over the park. I don't see that.
No, you don't see that. And it's not just children who are experiencing homelessness. The playground here at Pioneer Park is vile, the things that happen on the playground. And our teenagers and our young adults who work in the area businesses, you know, who staffs the small mall shops? Who staffs the small restaurants? There are young people.
Sure.
And when the adults are away, which they frequently are because it's a business, and they're being run by the young people, the women at the cash wraps, are being sexually intimidated by the adult homeless people. Every step of the way here in my neighborhood, we live downwind, so to speak, from the nuclear hotspot, which is the campus, the homeless campus.
Yeah. A final thought, and as I've mentioned over and over during the course of this broadcast, there will have to be more conversations. This is a launching point. Hopefully, we're setting the stage for real solutions and real actions, and we've talked about many of them. What do you want to see? Because you're not only a resident here, you're not only a property owner here, but you are the head of the community council. Number one, what has to happen?
Move the families with children out of the road home now. I don't know what terrible tragedy we're waiting for, but if we're waiting for a tragedy, we'll get it.
You used a term the other day, and I mentioned it when we were talking with the folks from the road home. I mean, these people are doing the work of angels.
Yes, they are.
But holy smoke, is it a tough job.
Well, they've been in crisis mode for 35 years. It's time for something to change.
Christian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Doug.
Here at KSL News Radio. This is his neighborhood, and as he said, we're looking at his front yard right here, and he is also engaged in the community council here. Christian Harrison with us. It is 11:30 at KSL News Radio.
It's the 8th Annual Utah Animal Adoption Center's Furry Fiesta, Saturday, August 8th. It's a party you can put your paws all over. Chow down on delicious food from El Chihuahua. Lap up libations, enjoy doggy psychics, and pet vendors like Vitabone and Cottonwood Animal Hospital. Plus, tail wagging tunes from the Grey Dogs. Your tax-deductible tickets are available with special discounts online, and kids 5 and under are free. Utah Animal Adoption Center rescues, spays, neuters, and finds forever homes for over 1,000 pets a year. For information, visit utahanimals.org or 355 Pets, sponsored by Vitabone.
When was the last time you felt free? It's time to uncover that feeling again with the compassion of a cross and shield and the power of a card that opens doors to the best hospitals and medical centers in all 50 states, giving you the freedom to love, to dream, to dance like no one is watching. Regions Blue Cross Blue Shield. Live fearless.
11:32 here at KSL News Radio. Scott Seeger stands by in the KSL 24-hour news center.
Doug, our top story this hour, Utah State Prison officials disciplining some of the inmates involved in a hunger strike after they began covering their cell door windows with paper and damaging their cells. Prison spokeswoman Brooke Adams says five inmates were transferred to the prison's highest security unit. She says besides covering cell windows, some inmates broke sprinklers, which flooded their cells. Well, the Prison Relocation Commission is moving up the date in which it will recommend where a new prison should go. KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour reports.
Commissioners could announce their choice Tuesday. They originally clamored for more time, October 1st, because of the wealth of materials to consider, but co-chairman Jerry Stevenson says they figured everything out, and the owners of the four possible relocation sites are ready to sell now. Their legislature budgeted $550 million for a new prison.
Governor Gary Herbert will next call a special session of the legislature to vote on the new site. His spokesman says keeping the prison in Draper is still an option. Politics on KSL News Radio. President Obama says the nuclear deal with Iran builds the tradition of strong, principled diplomacy with adversaries, the kind of policies that won the Cold War without firing any shots. In a speech at American University in Washington, the president compared the agreement to President John F. Kennedy's call for a Cold War diplomacy and nuclear disarmament. Other national stories we're following. No service members have been hurt or injured, but soldiers have reported gunfire for a second consecutive day near a Mississippi military facility. The National Guard says more than 4,600 active duty soldiers are taking part in a summer training exercise at Camp Shelby. Your money at this moment. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial is down 27 points to 17,525, but the NASDAQ is up 33 and the S&P is ahead by 6. A cloud should be tapering off this afternoon. The latest from the KSL Weather Center next. KSL News Time, 11:33.
This is Amanda Dixon, constantly breaking in with news like this.
It flared up and traveled into some other fields with some heavier vegetation.
News, traffic, weather, we do it all morning on KSL News Radio.
There's a reason why Scott Hill Plumbing, Heating, and Air has such an incredible customer satisfaction rate and a very high referral rate. People who do business with Scott Hill Plumbing, Heating, and Air, they love to recommend them to friends, just like I'm recommending their service to you. Recently, they cleaned a drain in our home. We cashed in on the $59 special. It was a drain in the basement that our washer drains into. Yeah, that's one you don't want backing up or running slow. And they took care of it in a timely manner, and $59 was the price. Absolutely love doing business with Scott Hale Plumbing, Heating, and Air, and you will too. By the way, if you're replacing an air conditioning system, remember right now you'll receive a 16-gig Apple iPad for free as a thank you when you purchase that high-efficiency energy air conditioner. You'll love doing business with Scott Hale Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Just give them a call, 269-HALE, or go to scotthale.com.
Visit KSLNewsRadio.com to win great prizes like all-day passports to Lagoon. Be sure to print your KSL golden ticket, where on Tuesdays, guests 65 and older get a second Lagoon passport for just $10 with a purchase of one at $44.95 plus tax. Or win tickets to Joe Bonamassa August 20th at USANA Amphitheater. Tickets available through SmithTix. And win a Papa Murphy's Love at 425 degrees prize pack. It's all there. So bookmark us online today at KSLNewsRadio.com.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Toyota Camry. Here's Ricky Meese.
Just a minor accident on I-215's west belt. It's out of traffic over on the shoulder northbound on I-215. Prior to 4500 south, really not going to cause you any kind of slowdowns. The rest of the Valley Freeway traffic rolling along at in good shape and no problems on north or southbound I-15 between Ogden and Provo. One injury accident in Murray. This is going to be about 5900 south, right around 16th east. Tunex Complete Car Care specializes in state-of-the-art diagnostics to ensure your vehicles run at peak performance. From Ogden to St. George, visit Tunex.com for the service center nearest you. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
And the forecast, a slight chance for some showers this afternoon, clearing later. High today around 90. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, cooler. High back down into the upper 80s. Right now in Salt Lake, a mostly cloudy skies, 84 degrees. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Scott Seeger, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic and weather.
Homeless.
Thank you so much.
In Salt Lake City. Today until 12 o'clock, KSL looks at the ways downtown is being affected, the drugs and dangers, and what can be done to finally make a change. Live from Pioneer Park, here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this special broadcast. And as you can tell, wind slightly blowing out here, and you can hear that in our microphones. We are set up in Pioneer Park. We're actually on the south end of this most historic and significant spot of Salt Lake City. And as I've mentioned several times, it's the largest open green space in the entire downtown Salt Lake City area. So we're on very, very sensitive and very, very interesting ground here, which also happens to be the home of many wonderful things that happen and some fairly dubious things that happen. And we're so concerned about our homeless population here in the state of Utah. And it's a real privilege for me to introduce you to Joanne Johnson. This is a woman who has experienced homelessness, and she is joining us today. And what a pleasure to have you join us, Joanne. Thank you so much.
I'm happy to be here.
I asked Joanne if she was from Utah, and you said, no, where are you from?
Michigan.
Flint, Michigan, I understand.
Yes.
Yeah. And you mentioned right off the bat, with a little twinkle in your eye, that this is where GM builds their automobiles, and that was your profession?
Yes.
What caused you to come out here to Utah?
Well, our plant was in the first of the layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And because I tried to go to school and work and go to school and work, it didn't work out. And so finally, when we got our last layoff, I left Michigan.
Yeah. When did you, and I don't know when someone crosses that threshold and what the threshold is, but how and when did you become homeless?
Actually, homeless, it's just a word. Sometimes there are those of us who truly only need a place to live. Mm-hmm. We're not drugging, we're not drinking, we have legitimate jobs, and still we fall into that category, and people just pass us by. They don't think that we're important.
Yeah, everybody kind of gets lumped together.
Yes.
For you, when you came to Salt Lake City, what kind of reception did you receive? What did you find here initially?
I knew about the Mormons. I knew about the Mormons' history. Mm-hmm. But then I also knew that in 1978 they allowed the blacks to go to the priesthood, and so it kind of covered some of the initial feeling that I had when I first came. I didn't feel any real, or can I say, no one called me this word nigger. No one was abusive or hurting or any of those things. Mm-hmm. I found jobs, but I didn't find permanent jobs. I told myself that once I left General Motors that I would never get another permanent job. You know, I lost a lot. And so, in the move, coming here was to find work. And that's how I am. I go from, let's put it this way. I used to go from place to place to find work. Mm-hmm. But once I got to Utah, I stayed.
And did you stay out of choice or did you stay out of necessity?
Both.
Both. Uh-huh. Tell us about you today. We've talked about Joanne of the past, but what are you doing today and how is your life today?
I live at the Road Home. I left Utah in 2008. I went to the Williston State College out of Williston, North Dakota, where it's really cold.
Yeah.
Like 70 below zero.
That's cold.
And I was in school there for 2 years. And I transferred out and went to the four-year school in Minot, North Dakota. And I was there for 4 years, but I only went to school 2 years part-time. So that I had problems with my knees. My legs hurt, and I couldn't get a medical card. And so in coming home, this is my home.
So home is Utah.
This is my home. I had a chance to get the medical card from the 4th Street Clinic right there on the corner.
Right, right.
And it took them a while to fix my knees, but I have 2 total knee replacements for my knees. And the object of the surgery was so that I would be able to work, to have employment.
What are the potentials now for you for employment? What are you looking at? What are you hoping for?
Well, the job that I just had is a hard job. We make books and magazines. Mm-hmm. And we work these 12-hour shifts, 6 to 6. Where I am now is, I filled out the U.S. FAFSA, the student FAFSA for school, mm-hmm. and I was allotted, I think $5,700 under the Pell Grants, and then $10,500 for money for tuition, and that's on the plate right now.
Wonderful.
And so, what I really want to talk about is housing. The fact that here you have a city that's rebuilt everything. The downtown is new. Sugar House is new. And all of the other of these buildings that have market rate value. Can you pay $1,500? Can you pay $2,000? Can you pay $2,200, far above the board? Where are we? It's not a dream world that we live in. We live in a real world.
So is the answer affordable housing, in your opinion?
Affordable housing comes before the market value housing. SROs, single room occupancies, and one bedroom apartments are in need. People, if there was that availability of housing, you could empty out the shelter and you wouldn't need to build a new one.
Interesting. I so appreciate your perspective and your thoughts, Joanne. Just a final thought from you, and as you look 2 years from now, 3 years from now, what's the goal? What do you want to be doing here in a couple of years? Maybe after some of the schooling, after the knees settle in? Looks like you're doing fairly well here.
I want to look around in the Pioneer Park and see that there's no homeless people here. I want to go over into the Gateway Mall and see that now the ladies with the babies and the strollers aren't camping out in the mall. I want to see this. That would make my heart happy.
Joanne, thank you so much. You've made our hearts happy by joining us today here at KSL. Joanne Johnson, who has experienced much of what we're talking about today. And
yes.
Joanne, let me shake your hand. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I wish you the very best, and I appreciate your courage in talking with us on The Doug Wright Show. It's 11:45. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Catholic Community Services. Boy, they play a very significant role in this community. And then also Pamela Atkinson. She is just critical to any conversation that any of us have here in the state of Utah when it comes to homelessness. So stay with us. More to come in our last and final segment of this special broadcast live from Pioneer Park. As a special treat for the entire family to kind of wrap up the summer before all the kids head back to school, why don't you head to Desert Star Playhouse, where right now, up on the stage, you'll see Greased, Happy Days Are Here Again. This is a great show where they're spoofing all the things from the 1950s, everything from kind of the Sharks and the Jets and the big in-state rivalry, water skiing on the Great Salt Lake, too. Things you would see perhaps in a Happy Days episode that can only be done by the people with the wit, the grace, the charm, and the craziness of Desert Star Playhouse. For 2 hours plus, you're going to be kicking back, relaxing with the whole family, and just having a great time, and doing it at an affordable price with great family entertainment. And I give you this little bit of advice. You want to take the family there hungry because they have great, fun food at Desert Star Playhouse. Give them a call, 266-2600, or get your tickets at DesertStarPlayhouse.com.
With the three things you need to know this hour, I'm Scott Seeger. First, three people are dead and two others have been injured after a multi-vehicle crash on I-15 near Lehigh. Highway Patrol says the crash happened near the Utah-Salt Lake County line just before midnight last night. Second, the Prison Relocation Commission is expected to make its recommendations on a new prison site next week. It's well ahead of the October 1st date that had originally been set. Third, our top national stories from ABC News.
Authorities in France will hold a news conference this afternoon to talk about the investigation into part of a wing found on an island in the Indian Ocean from a plane. They'll be discussing whether they think it's part of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Firefighters in Central California continue working aggressively to build fire lines around that large blaze that's already destroyed dozens of structures and threatens thousands more. ABC's Clayton Sandell is in Lake County, California.
As we drove a roughly 10-mile stretch of the Rocky Fire perimeter this morning, we could see very little active fire. Much of the landscape is burned gray and black, and there are smoldering tree stumps everywhere, but nothing like the towering inferno of flames that just a few days ago was helping this fire double in size every 24 hours.
Slight chance for storms this afternoon. High today around 90. Right now in Salt Lake, cloudy skies, 84 degrees. I'm Scott Seeger, KSL News Radio.
Breaking news just into KSL News Radio. I'm Mary Ellen Geist. ABC News is now confirming from a news conference that the parts that washed up on a French island off the coast of East Africa have definitively, conclusively been confirmed to be that of the Malaysian missing plane 370. We'll have more details coming up on KSL.
Time now for Zions Bank speaking on business, and here's Chris Redgrave.
The benefits of therapeutic recreation are extensive. Research has shown this type of therapy helps with everything from improved cognitive and physical skills to emotional well-being and a decrease in behavioral problems. The team at National Ability Center in Park City specializes in recreational therapy and witness the impact every day. The mission of the National Ability Center is to empower individuals of all abilities of building self-esteem, confidence, and lifetime skills through sport, recreation, and education programs so they can live a more fulfilled life. Executive Director Gail Loveland says the goal for National Ability Center is to increase Utah's accessibility for recreation, which takes a lot of dedicated work. Gail was recruited by National Ability Center from Seattle 5 years ago. She brings 20 years of experience in nonprofit program development, administration, and recreation. One of the strengths she has is her ability to successfully grow nonprofits and keep them sustainable. Gail and her team of 125 employees are doing their jobs so well that Gail was recently selected as a finalist for the Ernst & Young Social Entrepreneur of the Year Award. The mission of sport, recreation, and education programs at the National Ability Center is to challenge yourself and your abilities so you can set and reach goals. Gail says they've developed a solid base in Park City that allows them to reach out to people throughout Utah and draw participants, volunteers, and supporters from a national and international audience. Her team also works with corporations, nonprofits, and government organizations to educate them about the unique strengths people with different abilities can bring to their organization. With their military initiative, the National Ability Center is working with Salt Lake City's VA Hospital, Camp Williams, and others to find engagement in the community and support veterans in finding employment. For Zions Bank, I'm Chris Redgrave, speaking on business.
Live from downtown Pioneer Park, it's Homeless in Salt Lake City. A special broadcast of The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio.
To me, just simply working for and with the great people at KSL. And one is to go around and distribute some of the monies that come in during Quarters for Christmas, having it go into the hands of our school districts and so on, so they can get it to the kids that need those shoes, going to the road home and going to St. Vincent. And what a wonderful opportunity that's been for me and for all of us at KSL. And I'm delighted that today joining us is the Homeless Services Director at the Catholic Community Services St. Vincent's, and Dennis Kelch is here with me. Dennis, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to join us this morning as we're chatting off the air. You know, it's easy to dwell on everything that is going wrong, and we need to remember that there are some things that not only are going right, but have been going right for a long, long time, and that includes some of the great services at St. Vincent.
Right. Catholic Community Services has run the St. Vincent de Paul Soup Kitchen for over 30 years, and now in the last 20 years, the Wigan Homeless Resource Center. I think the dining room has served, we've served two meals ever since October of 11 when the Salvation Army had to give it up. We serve about 500 people for each meal.
Yeah.
That's every day of the week. And then the Weekend Resource Center offers all kinds of help for people, showers, clothing, personal care items, an ability to access 20 different computers in the computer lab. They have storage space there. We have a case manager there who help them with their issues to get housing, to get connected with other agencies. Now, we see human dignity as being a major factor here. When you are homeless and you're on the street, your human dignity is kind of gone. I mean, it's really hard to sustain it when you can't even keep clean, when you're worried about where your next meal is coming from. How can you concentrate on a job, looking decent? How are you going to get cleaned up? How am I going to shave? Where am I going to get a razor? Where am I going to get a shower? All that kind of stuff. Jobs are accessed through the computer now. All those services are provided in the Wigan Center. So we help a great many people, thousands every year, and in the dining room even more. I get 300,000 meals in the last fiscal year that we were served out of the St. Vincent de Paul Soup Kitchen.
That is really remarkable.
So it's amazing. We have great staff who work very hard, a minimal number of people.
You know, we hear this over and over, that there seems to be somewhat of an escalation right now, especially in the aggressive side of it, the drug dealing, the aggressive panhandling that is going on. And so many of us who are not not comfortable. And boy, Pamela Atkinson underscored this. Didi Corradini, Rocky Anderson, everybody said, please give to the appropriate sources. Don't give to those who are panhandling. But occasionally someone will plead with you and tell you that they are starving, and you will offer. I was telling you a story that happened to me just a couple of weeks ago. And you say, okay, fine, come in with me. Oh, no, just give me the $5. No, and well, come in. No, they won't let me in. Well, okay, then I'll go in and buy it for you. What do you want? No, I just want $5. How do we determine the difference? And do you determine the difference? Or if somebody's hungry, you just feed them regardless?
We feed whoever walks in the door. All they have to have is make sure they have a shirt on and shoes on and behave themselves. And they're welcome to a hot meal twice a day. And I know the Salt Lake City Mission comes and has coffee and donuts in our yard every morning. So there's three meals a day right there. The Good Samaritan program has food. Rescue Mission has food. There's plenty of food downtown. So if they're asking for food, it's available here free of charge and readily accessible.
And we hear this over and over. And I'll invite Pamela to join us. Pamela Atkinson here with us now, joining in the conversation. Boy, you know, I asked you on my program not long ago, you know, what about that person who is pleading with you? And we all have that inclination to give. We've all seen the pictures of Christ reaching out to someone on the side of the road, and we want to do something for our fellow human beings. But boy, the odds. I remember when you laid out, what are the odds of that person actually doing something productive with that donation? And it's practically zip.
There are probably over 80% of the panhandlers who are asking for money, Doug, to feed their habits. We deal with them by asking the right questions, and we can soon find out, because of experience, what they want the money for, just as you did. And it's usually to feed a habit. If it's for utilities or rent, we have resources, and we can guide certain people to those resources, but only a certain percentage take advantage of it.
Right. You know, Pamela and also Dennis, just as a final note, we're just in the final moments of this program, and I hope good comes of this. I hope that, you know, we've set the stage. I hope that we've floated some ideas that might end up becoming some solutions. But for you, Pamela, you know, you've been engaged with this community, your homeless friends, as you refer to them over and over, for a long, long time, as you have too, Dennis. What do you want to see happen in the short term here? What needs to happen? And Pamela, I'll ask you first and then Dennis.
In the short term, we need to look at what we've done. In the last 7 years, over 2,000 chronically homeless men, women and children are in their housing. I just spent some time with them yesterday. They're off the streets. We know that housing first works. So now we have to take the 14,000 who are out here now and help them with different kinds of services. But housing is one of the main things that we can do. But first of all, we have to get the criminals off the streets at the Rio Grande. There are too many problems created in the last few years.
Yeah. Dennis, your thoughts on this?
I agree 100% with Pamela. The criminal element needs to be gone so that the homeless are safe and it's easier for our staffs to work with them. The whole idea of giving them what they need to get going and become self-sufficient is our goal. Our motto for CCS is provide help, create hope, and that's what these people need. But with that element there, it's very difficult for them to do that.
I thank you both so much for giving us a really good final word on the program today. Pamela Atkinson with us and Dennis Kelch, who is with the Catholic Community Services, St. Vincent Homeless Services, and then, of course, Pamela. You know, she has just been amazing with the homeless now for so many years, and of course, as has Dennis as well. Boy, you know, you hear some common denominators. You hear we've got to get a handle on the crime and the drug element. You hear other common denominators. We've got to come up with affordable housing. Housing first really does work. And the other thing is give to productive sources. Give to the organizations that have experience in this. They can make those dollars scream and go so much farther and make sure that they go to do good, not ill. And I so appreciate everybody participating in the program today. Thank you so much. And from Pioneer Park, we will sign off. It is 11:58. And tonight, when you go home, please make sure that you hug the people you love.